UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
A new test for urothelial cancers could detect mutations in DNA that have been identified for those cancers earlier than traditional tests. My guest is Dr. George Netto. He's the chairman of the pathology department at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Netto. As far as tumors of the upper and lower urinary tracts, speak a little bit about the etiology of bladder and urothelial cancers and how common and widespread is this cancer.
Thank you for having me. Bladder cancer and the majority of bladder cancer are urothelial carcinomas, so I'll use this terminology interchangeably, and are very common in the United States alone. Last year, there were over 80,000 cases that led to 18,000 deaths. So it's a major healthcare issue, and it involves a lot of procedures and long-term follow-up to patients, and it leads to billions of dollars of cost to the healthcare system, in addition to the morbidity and mortality associated with it. The etiology of urothelial carcinomas in general, and these are the tumors that affect upper and lower tract, starting with the renal pelvis and ending with the urethra, is strongly related to smoking and to environmental factors, exposure to chemicals, certain infectious diseases as in the Nile Valley, arsenic in South America, but mainly smoking and less so predisposition from inherited or familial diseases.
Dr. Netto, how important is the early diagnosis as being crucial to improve outcome prediction? And can the earlier detection of urothelial cancers lead to earlier treatment and potentially better outcomes for patients?
The answer is it's very important. Most of bladder cancers do present as what we call superficial disease, early stage disease, and the problem with those is recurrence. So detecting the recurrence very early on in that group of patients is important, because clearly will prevent these patients from going underdiagnosed with their progression and progressing to a more lethal disease. But then you do have a subset, at least a quarter of bladder cancers, that at time of presentation, it's already higher stage disease, what we call muscle invasive disease. And those, the prognosis is continue for till recently to be very bad, where we, overall 5-year survival, it's around 50% despite radical surgery and adjuvant therapy. There's some changes that occur in the last few years that had improved upon this outcome in a subset of patients. But clearly, the more we detect people in early disease, the less we're going to have presenting with muscle invasive, and the outcome in the early disease is better. And then if we also monitor them with a test that is effective, we will be able to early on detect the recurrences and prevent those patients from even progressing to a higher stage disease.
Tell us about EuroSeq. How was it developed and what is it?
So EuroSeq is a non-invasive urine-based method, molecular method for detecting bladder cancer and upper tract urothelial carcinoma in general. And when I say urine-based, so it's focused on detecting driver mutation in the DNA, tumor DNA that is shed, because cells got shed in the urine, and usually the traditional way of detecting those cells is cytopathology, meaning you put those cells on a slide and you look under the microscope, which is the sensitivity of that method for certain tumors is low, and it dependent on a pathologist actually examining those cells. Euroseq, on the other hand, detect the DNA of these cells, and within the DNA identify mutations and abnormality in the ploidy of the DNA that will point us to the presence of tumor cells in the urine.
Tell us the advantage of Euroseq over cytology or combined with cytology.
So, as I mentioned, cytology clearly is for the most part the gold standard looking at urine specimens. But more and more, as liquid biopsies with other liquid like plasma and blood, urine is becoming a good source for DNA, tumor DNA, be it within cells, what we call cellular DNA, or even cell-free DNA. Our test is cellular-based DNA, and the advantage is that the sensitivity of the test is much higher than cytology, specifically in those tumors that are lower grade and those tumors that I pointed to that they have the tendency to recur and progress. So while the specificity of cytology is high, meaning if you see a tumor cell and you're comfortable as a pathologist under the microscope that you have a tumor cell, then your diagnosis is definitive. The problem is a lot of times you cannot reach that degree of certainty based on looking at the cells under the microscope, and you end up with many diagnoses of equivocal diagnoses that really do not help the urologist and the patient. And then the next step will be having to have an invasive procedure, which is cystoscopy in this case, where you go in and you look if the suspicion is in the bladder or upper tract, you go all the way up and looking for the tumor visually and doing biopsies. Clearly, that's a procedure that is not favorable. And so the less we do of this, the less cost and less inconvenience to patient, and it has a lot of potential complications. Combination of the best scenario we found so far, and this is where we hope our tests will impact practice, is in combination with cytology. So let's get what works and add to it and improve upon it. So cytology, when it works, when it detects, that's fine. It's those cases that are equivocal and where cytology is unable to give us a diagnosis, going deeper and looking now at the DNA with a test that is very sensitive and maintain a specificity could be advantageous.
What are the clinical indications for institutions? Speak about the patient selection criteria for this test, and also, do you envision this becoming a standard screening test?
So the clinical indication, there are two settings where we see this test going into affecting standard of care. The first setting is what we term screening or early detection. Clearly, not everybody who's walking in the street, we need to screen for bladder cancer. But anybody who's has a reason to go see the physician or a urologist, either a general practitioner or a urologist, because they found blood in their urine, for example, or have some symptoms of lower urinary tract that lead to a suspicion of cancer. Before doing cystoscopy, so these are patients who do not have a prior diagnosis of malignancy of bladder cancer or upper tract either, then there is that suspicion. You can start with cytology and this test. The current standard is you start with cytology. If you have a persistent hematuria, either under the microscope when you do your urine lab test, regular lab test, or for whatever reason, that test can be ordered because of symptoms, for example, especially in a smoker, which we know is at a higher risk. So these patients who are at somewhat risk, either because of their more clinical presentation, be it hematuria or lower urinary tract symptoms, will be great candidate for this test in combination with cytology. So that's the early detection or screening part. The other part is the monitoring and the surveillance setting. So these are those 80,000 patients that I mentioned last year, those are all going to need to be followed up. And some of them are followed up for years, every 3 months with a repeat cytology, every six months with a cystoscopy, just to prevent progression. That is another important cohort where the test in combination with cytology, so in the surveillance setting, can tell us early on that the tumor is coming back and hence have the potential to progress to a higher stage, where this test could be very instrumental. More importantly, if we get to the point where this test can, negativity of this test can do away with cystoscopy and postpone this follow-up cystoscopy, that could be of tremendous value.
Looking forward to the next 10 years in the field, Dr. Netto, what do you feel will be the most important areas of research? Give us a little blueprint for future research.
So I first started, you know, by saying where do I see it in terms of early detection, because that's EuroSeq is the main topic of today's podcast. But I think we still have some work to do. The plan is to take this to an FDA approval, and this is not the only molecular method of detection. There are others. So to compare it to others and see what combination or how can we improve early detection and surveillance in general. So that's at least in the foreseeable future, that's going to become very important, refining the test, increasing the sensitivity and specificity, bringing down the cost, because this test is based on sequencing, and sequencing cost and technology is moving fast. So hopefully we bring down the cost and refine the performance characteristic of the test, and in addition to other tests that are also other groups are working on. As far as bladder cancer in general, there is a tremendous excitement in bladder cancer. Finally, after decades of stagnation and not being frustration from as scientists and clinicians, not being able to help our patients improve their outcome, trials on immune therapy have shown great promise in a subset of patients. So there'll be a lot of work on the horizon to identify who are those patients that are more likely to respond to immune therapy, because currently it's around 25% to 30% of all newcomers. So we would like to identify those patients. We would like to find biomarkers for response to immune therapy. The same is true for neoadjuvant therapy, which is in the last decade, patients receive chemo prior, those with higher stage disease, they receive chemo prior to surgery, and only a subset also respond to neoadjuvant chemotherapy. So finding biomarkers that can identify that subset and hence direct the chemotherapy and the immunotherapy, be the, either in the neoadjuvant or adjuvant setting to the right population of patient, that will help us improve outcome in general and focus on the right, treat the right population.
Doctor, as we know, this test was developed in conjunction with the researchers at the Johns Hopkins Kimmel Cancer Center. So as a wrap-up, what would you like the listeners to know about the EuroSeq test for bladder cancer and when to refer to the specialists at UAB Medicine?
The EuroSeq is one of the promising liquid biopsy, quote-unquote, based testing that in the realm of bladder cancer and urothelial carcinoma has great potential to impact the standard of care. In the upcoming year, we're planning on taking it through the FDA, and once it becomes orderable, I think the two settings that I referred to earlier will be very, very useful settings to order such tests, mainly patients with microhematuria and any symptoms that lead the general practitioner or the urologist to suspect the presence of bladder cancer, and also those who have prior diagnosis of bladder cancer or upper tract, and the urologist is monitoring them long-term. So adding this test to the algorithm of follow-up will be extremely helpful.
Thank you so much. It's absolutely a fascinating topic and such an interesting test. Thank you again for being with us today. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.